Chapter 3 Chaos Rising.
Lachlan, Nikita hissed.
The black heart loomed above me as my old prentice plunged toward us, glowing silver bright amid the storm of snow and ash. I lay on my back at Nikita's feet, stunned and bloody. Lucky letting loose with his 5 brace of pistols into the wretched around him, one after another after another. Nikita watched, epitaph in hand, lips twisted in an empty smile.
"Long years hath it been, little brother," he called.
Their eyes met, those two sons of Toliev, mortal and immortal amid the carnage and chaos. Among the bodies that washed Mergen red, those bairns in their nightshirts and the mothers swollen with babes forever unborn. The leavings of 1,000 lives, of madness and hellish ambition that had left this city in ruins and this country in ashes. Lachlan raised a pistol, eyes ablaze.
"No brother of mine."
The blast caught Nikita in the face, smashing his cheek wide open, tearing out through the back of his skull. The vampire staggered, stumbled to his knees, hand raised to the gaping wound as he bellowed in fury. Lachlan lifted his horn in reply, blowing another peal upon it, that silvered hymn ringing across the battlefield again. And through that swirling pall of snow and ash, dazed, bleeding, still I saw them, charging through the gates at Lachlan's back, perhaps only 50, but worth a legion, angels and saints upon their skins glowing with the light of heaven's fury.
"The Lord is my shield, unbreakable," one cried. "For Saint Michon," came the roar. "For Saint Michon."
"Silver saints," I whispered. I saw Robin among their number, the young blood's great sword raised in defence of his fallen hero. Big Xavier Perez and his faithful hound, Sabre, ran at the songbird's heels, hurling silver bombs into the fray. But more, I saw faces I knew from my years of service to the Order, men I'd fought and bled beside at Crimson Glade, at Scythetun, and Touvet, and Kadir. Maxim Sachaipre and Thomas Taille, Curtis the Tower, and even old Forge Master Argyle, roaring scripture as he charged, a silver steel warhammer affixed in his iron hand. Behind them came sisters of the Silver Sorority, wheel-lock rifles pouring silver shot into the dead, writing a twist to this script that the Black Heart was not prepared for. Lachlan dashed toward Nikita, drawing his greatsword as he roared. The Ancien was yet on his knees, blood dribbling from the silver-shot blast to his face. Lockie's eyes were ablaze with holy fervour as he charged the monster who'd helped raise him, all the might of Toliev's bloodline now brought to bear as he swung his sword toward Nikita's skull. Metal rang upon metal as Kiara's maul turned Lachlan's blow aside, the wolf mother smashing my old prentice back across the cobbles with the haft. She loomed tall in the blood and snow as Lachlan snaked back to his feet, the air around her ablaze with silver bombs and shot. She was torn by dancer claws, bloodied, outnumbered 50-1, yet still prepared to defend her beloved fallen lord.
"Here be a lesson you should have learned, pup," she growled. "Loyalty."
Lachlan smiled, pouring the blood from his chin.
"Teach it to him, leech."
Kiara turned at the scuff of boots at her back, her face falling. For rather than rising from the rubble to fight side by side with his daughter, Nikita instead raised epitaph and slung himself into the sky. The vampire's coat was smouldering with silver caustic, a thin trail of smoke etched behind him as he flew through the air, back toward the dun, leaving his old lover abandoned in those bloody streets behind him. The historian chuckled to himself, turning to a fresh page.
"There are none more afraid of dying than those who live forever," Gabriel nodded, sipping his wine.
Aaron had crawled onto his knees, hands burned black as he dragged Ash Drinker from his chest, Baptiste gasping on the bloody cobbles beside him. A silver bomb burst upon Aaron's skin, setting his coat ablaze, my old brother tearing it off his shoulders lest he too go up in flames.
Kiara was standing numb, watching her father flee, flinching as the bombs exploded, staggering as a burst of silver shot struck her in the shoulder, another peppered her chest. Aaron was on his feet now, hurling himself and his blade off through the smoke and storm after his master, and that seemed to galvanize Kiara at last, the wolf mother scrambling behind him, up onto the broken stonework and raising her maul, flinging herself over the broken wall. The untamed had fled the field. Newton was ours. I felt a hand grasp mine, and I groaned as Lachlan hauled me up from the bloody snow. My ribs were broken, lungs bleeding, and I could still barely drag in a single bubbling breath. But all I felt was mad joy as I looked upon his face. "Good to see you again, brother," he smiled. I could only shake my head, wheezing. "What the hell are you doing here?" "You told me to bring a silvered fucking army next time I came after you." Lachlan shrugged, green eyes glittering as he glanced at the miracle around us. "So I did." I looked to Baptiste, dragging himself upright, pale and bleeding, but yet moving. Phoebe emerged from the rubble, dusted in stone, dripping blood. She tensed at the sight of the man who'd shot her, but my old apprentice raised a hand in peace. "Fair dawning, mademoiselle. God's truth, my heart gladdens to see you well." "It's all right, Phoebe," I told her, meeting Lockie's eyes. "He's famille." My old apprentice eyed me, boots to bonce. "You look like shite." "Of course I do." I dragged my hair back with one bloody hand. "I'm me." His eyes sparkled, my lip curled. Lachlan was the first to break, but I followed close behind, both of us falling into a hug so fierce it might have killed an ordinary man. I picked him up, despite all my hurts, squeezing him tight, roaring at the top of my lungs. "Bring me those cherry lips, you beautiful little bastard." The last silver saint leaned back in his chair, eyes shining at the memory. Jean-Francois's quill was scratching upon the page, his own lips curled in a smile. Solène picked up the half-empty bottle the historian had given her, pressing its lips to the cage across her mouth and splashing some of that clotting red across her tongue. Angel Fortuna was smiling on us at last, it seemed. We were fighting against the high bloods on the Altun walls, but as the silver saints cut their way into Newton, we felt a tremor of fear run through the Divok line. And when Nikita broke, leaping back toward the Altun walls, that tremor became a quaking, all through their number. "Back! Back to the Dun!" was the Black Heart's cry, the high bloods all breaking cover as he roared. The Divok rearguard were abandoned by their comrades, cut down by Angus Abaren and his wolves, Brendar na Dunzer and his lions. But the dancers didn't yet press. Gabrielle's sorceress calling for her fellows to regroup on the Altun battlements, the shout ringing up and down the line that Saint Michon had arrived and salvation was come. Crouching low, belly to the stone, we stole alone along the western wall now, over the sea gates to Porton, ever closer to the Dun. Amid the smoke and swirling snows, we peered over the battlements, eyes upon our foes. Nikita's court was cut deep, perhaps 20 of their number lost, their resolve hanging now by a thread. Retreated to the walls of his stolen keep, the Count Divok glowered at the figures swarming atop the Altun walls, all he had worked for unravelling in the bright song of silver horns. His daughter stood beside him, eyes welling with rage.
"You left me," Kiara hissed, hand to her bleeding breast.
"Survived thee, well enough," Nikita murmured through his bloody jaw. "Save thy bleeding for the lambs, Kiara. This be a day for wolves."
"All those years, all I've done for ye."
"And what exactly hast thou done?"
Nikita turned on his brood child, bloody flecks at his lips.
"The lion ye claimed to slay hath instead brought two armies to bear against us, mustered by the very weapon ye let slip from thy fool's fingertips."
"I sought only to please ye. All I did for love of ye."
"Love!" he roared. "Hast thou learned nothing? Love is frailty in iron's guise, wolf mother. A lie the ram tells the ewe.
that he might seed more sheep in her belly. That which is given may be taken away, and what makes you care makes you weak. Now trouble me not with mortal trifles while our enemies gather in legion upon our doorstep."
Kiara bit her lip, eyes welling with bloody tears. Aaron stood at his master's side, skin scorched, chest bleeding, if not from his confrontation with his beloved Baptiste, then at least from the kiss of Ashdrinker's blade. Nikita's court flocked around him, streaked with the ashes of their fellows. Flint dark eyes on the old-torn walls. The dancers were unsealing the great gate into the inner city now, raising the mighty portcullis, those silvered figures flooding through. Aaron's jaw was clenched, the vampires around him grim and snarling.
"What do we do, master?" the captain asked.
"Our fleet awaits in the gulf below,"
Alex murmured, glancing to the waters at their backs.
"The oceans be at ours, Priori. We could take to the boats, live to f—"
Epitaph sang as it came, cleaving Alex's head clean off her shoulders. A blow so heavy and swift that it took a moment for the vampire's body to realize it was dead. As it tumbled off the wall, Alex's corpse crumbled to ashes, stolen years reclaimed by death's hungry hand, her skull turning to dust before it ever struck the cobbles. The dragon roared as his lover was decapitated, eyes wide with outrage as they fell on Nikita. But the Priori Divok stood clad in smoking black, his bloody blade extended toward his nephew's throat, the empty midnight of his eyes still fixed on the foe as he spoke.
"The next craven who proposes retreat shall suffer the same."
The dragon trembled with fury. His golden fangs glinted as he snarled, tattooed skin smeared with the blood and char of battle, but still he dared speak not a word of protest. There are few matters so deep as those of the heart, true, but no hearts beat inside the chests of the damned, historian, and forever is a long time to give up for love.
"What, then," he spat, "would you have us do, Priori?"
Nikita glanced at his defences, pawing at the silver-shot hole in his cheek. The battlements here were stronger, yet still cracked from his assault months back. Plenty of footholds for a pale blood or dusk dancer to take advantage of on the climb. There were no trebuchet or cannon here, only iron troughs to pour stones and boiling water down on ascending troops. But those troughs were empty now. The stone had been used to shore up the fortifications, and there was no scalding water in a dune where flames were all but forbidden. But looking at the basins, the black heart still smiled, turning now to Aaron.
"Bring me the cattle."
Aaron glanced to those awful cages in the bailey behind, the feeble and frozen remnants of the bounty from Avalyn.
"Which ones, master?" "All of them."
Aaron kissed his laird's hand, the mark of his bloody lips painted on the Blackheart's skin. Nikita had turned back to the enemy, the Silver Saint spilling into Altun, the lion limping at their head, his flesh witch and black thumb and that accursed traitor beside him, all of them bleeding but unbroken. A legion of former Divok scorched came tumbling behind them, liberated by the craft of that damnable girl. The Blackheart's gaze flashing as young Wehin raised his bloody sword and led the cries of those soldiers ringing now on the winds.
"La demoiselle de Grel!"
He turned to Kiara, snarling.
"Bring me that accursed girl!"
The wolf mother yet stared knives at her brood father's throat, eyes drifting to the stain of Aaron's lips upon his hand. Her own lips were parted, her gaze.
"Now!"
Nikita snapped, his voice near cracking the stone. And with fingers curled into fists, the wolf mother turned to obey.
"Why had you not already freed her?"
Selene glanced up at the historian's interruption. Jean-Francois was still writing in his tome, preternaturally swift, sparing her a brief glance as he dipped quill to ink.
"If you could take the form of your little winged legion at will, why not simply bypass the enemy entirely and slip into the Divok dungeons, there to set La Chance loose?"
Gabriel was pouring himself another wine, looking to Selene with eyebrow arched. Excellent question. Why hadn't you freed her, sister?
We knew we would do more good upon the walls, Selim replied. Dior was locked in her cell, wounded we, but safe enough for now. Until the Silver Saints arrived, our assault upon the Untamed was failing and every blade was needed in the fray.
Awfully thoughtful, Gabriel inclined his head. Or perhaps you fancied you might snatch yourself another cheeky feast in the chaos. Save another damned soul from perdition, as you'd done with Rickard at Avalane. Maybe a Medier this time, or a nice juicy Ancien to wet your whistle. Do you earn more kudos from your beloved maker the older your victims are, or do you just steal more power for yourself?
You know nothing, she spat. And still you whine like a kicked dog. Do you never tire of the sound of your own voice, brother?
You could have stopped it, Gabriel snarled. What came next, you could have...
Stop!
Jean-Francois snapped, slapping his page.
You were saying, Mademoiselle Castilla. I was saying,
she hissed, still glaring at Gabriel.
We fought upon the walls until the saints arrived, and soon thereafter we were fighting for all our lives. So while my dear brother would love nothing so much as to place the blame for all that happened at my feet, I did the best I could.
She sighed and hung her head.
Would that it could have been more.
Gabriel scoffed, but at a sharp glance from Jean-Francois, the Silver Saint held his tongue, sipping from his goblet instead. And with a final glower, his sister spoke on.
Chiara stormed into the dune at Nikita's behest, her mood as wrath as the storm overhead. The wrens Phoebe had torn in her skin, the silver-shot holes blasted by Lachlan and his brothers, the bruises Nikita had left on her heart, who knew which pained her worse? We lost sight of her as she passed into the keep, but that mote of us with Dior deep in the dungeons was listening as Chiara approached the Grail's cell. Nikita's toy, the girl Isla, was on guard outside the Grail's cage at the command of her ever after, a handful of thrall swords standing duty with her. Rain Amergen watched from the barred slot in her cell door opposite. The princess was bruised, but she'd been healed by the Grail's holy blood, glowering at the wolf mother's approach. Lady Chiara, Isla curtsied. How fares my lord in love?
The wolf mother ignored the girl, twisting the key in Dior's lock.
Lady Chiara, Isla asked again. How fares the laird?
Reaching out slow, Chiara cupped Isla's pretty face and with no word of warning pushed it through the nearest wall. The girl's head burst like an overfull wineskin, her skull crushed to pulp. The thrall swords took a moment to react as the brains and blood splashed their boots, but by the time they reached for their steel, Chiara was among them, snapping necks like dry twigs, punching one fellow so brutally in the stomach his innards escaped upward through his mouth. Floors washed red, hands painted like same, Chiara wrenched open the Grail's door.
What are you doing? Rain demanded.
Dior was laid on the floor, blooded at her ears and nose. The mote of us with her shivered, tiny and helpless, the rest of me on the outer walls, seething now. Chiara rolled the girl onto her back, eyes brimming with red rage. And reaching to her boot, she drew out the short, sharp knife she'd used to flay de Coste on the long road to May again.
No! Stop! The princess roared. Stop it! Don't touch her!
The wolf mother glanced at the girl, snarling.
Shut your fucking noise, whelp!
Rain smashed her knuckles against the door.
If you hurt her, I'll kill you.
I'm near hurting her, Chiara spat, turning back to the comatose girl. I'm hurting him.
The wolf mother stared at the brand atop her hand, that black heart circled by thorns, that mark of affection that should have faded long ago. And stabbing her blade into her marble skin, she sliced her scar of fealty away, pressing the bleeding wound to Dior's lips.
The Grail moaned, crimson washing her tongue, the blood of Emedie true but enough to rouse her after that brutal kick to her skull. Slowly, the girl opened her gore-gummed eyes, widening as they saw the wolf mother looming over her. Dior woke fully then, scrambling backward over the stone. She wiped her fingers across her bleeding nose, bloody fingers held out before her like daggers. But the wolf mother only scoffed and rose to her feet. "Do you still run swift, little mouse?" Dior blinked.
"What? Get up. I'm taking you out of here."
The wolf mother turned, trudging across the corridor toward Rain's cell, the bewildered girl watching as Kiara opened her door and nodded to Dior.
"She'll need your help, Highness."
The princess held still a moment, uncertain, untrusting, staring at the bleeding gouge atop Kiara's hand, the flayed mark of the one she was betraying.
"What makes you care?" the wolf mother said. "Need not make you weak."
Shouldering past the vampire, the Lady Rain ran into the Grail's cell, slipping an arm around the groaning girl. Helping her to sit, Rain pressed lips to Dior's brow, her cheeks, her bloody mouth, whispering fierce.
"Are you well?"
"Better now," Dior whispered. "Are you?"
"Move your asses, both of you," Kiara snapped, "afore I change my mind."
Rain took Dior's hands, helped the Grail to her feet. Kiara stood in the corridor, glowering at the pair before turning on her bloody heel and stalking back up the stairs. The girls followed slower, Dior limping beside Rain, the princess's arm around the Grail's waist. Dior frowned as she saw Isla and the Scorched splashed all over the walls.
"What the hell is going on?" she whispered.
The wolf mother licked gore from her fingers as she climbed the dungeon stair, talking over her shoulder to the two girls following.
"Your Gabriel is at the gates, but blood shall be spilled by the ocean full afore ever he reaches you. Find you somewhere to hide from the Black Heart till the battle is done."
Jean-Francois held up one hand, halting Selene's story. "I pray, let us not get too far ahead of ourselves, Mademoiselle Castilla." Dipping quill to ink, the historian glanced toward his other prisoner. "Where were you during all this delicious treachery, Silver Saint?" Gabriel drank from his goblet, dragged her knuckles across his mouth.
"I'd no idea it was even happening. We were yet cleaning up packs of foul bloods and mustering on the old Toon walls. We'd done well to press Nikita and his high bloods back to the dune, but I'd been fighting the dead most of my life, historian, and I knew you bastards are never more dangerous than when backed into a corner."
"Law the Fourth," Jean-Francois murmured. "The dead feel as beasts, look as men, die as devils," Gabriel nodded. "But with the Silver Order on our side, I knew we could win now. Lachlan and the other saints had marshalled below, Joaquin and the Scorched bolstering their number. Two contingents of dancers were set to hook east and west along the sea walls, closing around the dune, while our Silver Sisters and Moon's Maidens covered us with wheel-lock and bow. Phoebe stood beside me, and as we stared across the snows at the cold bloods on the dune's walls, she squeezed my hand. Raising Ashdrinker high, I drew breath to sound our charge.
Gabriel,
I frowned at the silver stutter, looking at the dame upon my blade.
"Ash?
I pressed my bloodied fingers to her face.
"What is it, mon ami?"
Behind.
"Sayerasan," Bryn roared. "Where ye?"
I turned at the cry, my belly sinking. And there, slinking into the red rivers of the Newton streets at our backs, they came. The vanguard were foul bloods, one and all, over 1,000 by the look, beggars and lords, soldiers and peasants, parents and children. Their brains rotted to ruin, their bodies mere shells for the thirst within. Men marched behind, hundreds more their number. White ravens graced their shields and tabards, helms fashioned like skulls, their pauldrons, skeletal hands. Swordsmen in front, riflemen behind, wheel locks at their shoulders and death in their eyes.
"It's the bloody Voss," Bryn cried.
"It can be," Phoebe whispered.
"We caught those runners this morning. The Ord is days from here."
And I knew then, the simple truth. While the river was days distant, while Nikita's message would never have reached it in time, that only mattered if the Terrors had waited where they'd promised, if their master had kept his word to his old flame. Fabian lied to Nikita. I shook my head. He was planning to betray the Black Heart as soon as he had opportunity.
And we just gave it to him.
Let the Divok and us soften each other up, then mop up the remainder and collect Dior on the way out the gates.
"Sweet Mother Moons," Phoebe hissed.
The last Silver Saint licked at wine-stained lips, staring into his goblet.
So there we were, historian, caught between hammer and anvil, balls deep in hell, with a new hell greasing up our rears.
Over 1,000 more foul bloods, thrall swords behind them, fresh and unbloodied by battle. And squinting through the smoke and snow, I saw them, like a pair of good little emperors, all the way at the back of their lines. Two tiny figures, clad in white and black, hands all drenched in red. I could still see them in my mind's eye, gathered outside my home the night their dread father came knocking. They'd stood and watched while he did it. They'd laughed, as my angels did. And I'd sworn I'd see them dead for it, every one.
"What do we do, Gabe?" Phoebe whispered.
I raised my blade, the ink on my skin ablaze.
"Time to make good on a promise."